Also would like to say good morning to each of you and greet you in the Savior's name this morning. It's good to be gathered with you here in this place, of worship. I've been much blessed and inspired as we have sat together and as we've discussed, heard the devotional and studied the Sunday school lesson, singing of the hymns. I believe God is answering the desires of our hearts this morning. We just sang in that last song, Lord, I need thy rich and filling. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And I believe that was your heart's desire. And I know it's mine that as we continue to look into God's Word, He would fill our hearts. In a race that seems so hard to run, and it starts out with the phrase, in a world of fear and turmoil, we need the infilling presence in our heart to help us live from day to day. And this morning, I trust that God will continue to lead our thoughts in that direction, that we can be filled with His presence. I would like to start this morning by just looking briefly at three different accounts in the book of Acts. And the first one is going to be in Acts chapter 8. And we're just going to be reading a verse or two out of each of these accounts. And they will introduce for us the thought that I feel God has laid on my heart and I trust He can inspire us with. In Acts chapter 8, these are all familiar accounts. And there's a similar, maybe we'll call it a happening, a similar idea, I guess we'll call it a happening in each of these accounts that introduces to us what we're thinking about this morning. In Acts 8, 26 and 29, you'll recognize this activity or this happening or this story as Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian man. And I'm just going to read a couple of these verses. Verse 26 in Acts 8 says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now just hold that thought in your mind and let's turn a couple more chapters to chapter 10. And this account you will recognize as the one where Peter had a vision. And he had the vision of the invitation to eat the unclean animals that were presented to him. And we're going to break in down at the end of this vision in verse 17. It says, Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen meant, he was pondering what this meant. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So Peter was pondering this. We know how this took place, and some men were coming to his house where he was at. And in verse 18 it says, And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And I'd like to take you ahead a few more chapters to chapter 16. Chapter 16, and I'll read 6 through 10. And when they had gone through Pergia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. and they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There is a similar train of thought through all these verses, and that is what I've entitled the message this morning, and that is hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I wonder what this must have been like. Do you think we started out with Philip, and then we talked about Peter, and then here in chapter 16, it doesn't give as many names, but what must they have encountered? As far as we know, they were just going about a normal day's activities. With Philip, he was on the road to Gaza. He was traveling. With Peter, he had been on the rooftop resting, and he saw this vision. It wasn't anything real spectacular. It was a normal day for them. Yet they heard the Spirit speaking. And I wonder what it must have been like. Did they hear a voice? Did they hear an audible voice? Maybe, or was it just some type of a strong feeling that they felt? But yet it gave them instructions. Now I know we need to remember that these accounts are from the book of Acts. And Acts, we know, is a book of transition between when Jesus was on earth into when the church was established. And there are some things that happened in the book of Acts that we don't see happening since then. But yet, I think we can agree on the fact that God speaks to His children. God speaks through His Spirit. Now, the question for us this morning is, have you heard His voice? Do you hear His voice? Do you hear God speaking to you? Can you relate to a happening like this, where you have heard God telling you what to do or maybe what not to do? Now, I know in our culture, and maybe this seems a little bit strange, but in our culture, it's labeled if you say you heard voices. If you tell somebody, well, I heard a voice speaking to me, they probably look at you a little bit strange. They might call you weird. They might call you different names, that schizophrenic or anything like that. There might be, but yet, should it be a strange thing for us to hear an inner voice telling us what to do? Shouldn't it be a normal thing for God's children to hear a voice telling them what to do? The Bible tells us, or talks a little bit more about this voice that we're referring to. And we know it's the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to read just a couple of these verses in the book of John. If you turn back to John 16, I would like to hold this verse up as the text for what we will be thinking about as we think about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Jesus is talking here, and He is telling His followers. Now, the Holy Spirit had not yet come, and He could not come because Jesus was on the earth, and Jesus was preparing His followers for what would happen, and Jesus is also telling us this morning, as His followers, what we can experience while we're living our life in this world. Let's turn back just a couple chapters to chapter 14, and read a couple more verses to do with the Holy Spirit, also called the Holy Ghost, also called the Comforter, also called the Spirit of Truth. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then let's jump down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm wondering this morning, are you hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you hear God's Spirit speaking to you? And yet we wonder, how does this happen? How do we hear his voice? How do we know his voice? I wish I could tell you this morning that it's a certain, listen for the certain tone of voice, certain decibel, maybe certain accent, and you will know that that's God's voice speaking to you. And yet I don't want to make it sound difficult, because I don't think it is that difficult. We can hear God's voice speaking to us. And maybe we can say, it is a certain tone, it is a certain decibel. And there are ways that we know that it is God's voice speaking to us. We're going to go over a few points this morning. And we will start out by looking a little bit at just who the Holy Spirit is in brief. And by some of this, it will help us to understand the voice of the Holy Spirit so we know who to be listening for. But my prayer is that it will increase our awareness of the Spirit's presence in our life. As Christians this morning, we have the Spirit's presence in our life. It's important that we are interacting with this Spirit's presence. And I think sometimes we don't give this due emphasis like we should. And I think what I'm doing is getting into my first point, which is every person has the potential to hear the Holy Spirit. And this may seem like it would go without saying. We should know this, that every person has the potential to hear the Holy Spirit. But I would like to hold this up this morning, as this is important for us to remember. There are a couple verses that I would like to quote here to remind us of this fact. In Proverbs 20, 27, it says, "The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." And then in 1 Corinthians 2, 11, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Now, this is very elementary, but every person, I said, has the potential to hear the Holy Spirit. That is because every person has a spirit. Again, maybe that doesn't seem so important this morning. But I believe that there is a couple reasons why it is important that we start out thinking about the fact that we have a spirit. One of the reasons why it's important is because we are being told that it is not so. Now, I don't know that that's so much close to us, but yet it is around us. The idea that we as humans are, and if you want to use the technical term of monistic, where we are just matter. It is only us, and there is nothing else but who we are. Yet God has made us. And if you want to use the term dualistic, where it's not just the body that you see, there is more to us than just the body that you see. There is a bigger part to the picture. And I'm not going to try and determine this morning what falls under soul or spirit. But we know that when God created us, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Science is trying to establish the point that all is matter, all is definable by explanation and processes. And as Christians, we know this morning that that is not so. We know that there is more to us than just the body. Another reason why it is important to consider that every person has a spirit. And that is what connects us to life. If our body did not have a spirit, then we would not be alive. We need our spirit to live. And again, that's what we read from Genesis 2:7, where God breathed into man and we became a living spirit. So the question is, what is happening to our spirit? We have this spirit in us that comes when we are born. When we enter the world, we come with a spirit. And that spirit is you. That's me. This morning, you don't just see my body up here, you see who I am. This spirit gives us potential. And that potential is to hear the Holy Spirit. But yet we know and are implying, and I'm sure that you are thinking of this, that this, if unless we listen to this voice that we are talking about, we might also experience another alternative, and that is a spirit that leads to death. So I feel it's important for us to think about the fact that we are spiritual beings and that it is important that we will listen to the Holy Spirit if we want to experience life. I think it's another reason why it's important to consider our potential, that we are spiritual beings, and that is, at least for myself, I find it easier just to think about the physical. I get up in the morning, and I'm feeling good, and so I think everything's all right. We get ready to go to church, and everything get dressed and prepared and ready to go and make it to church. And as long as everything falls together physically, you feel that everything is the way it should be. Well, as I read my Bible, I find out that there is more to the picture than just the physical. So I think it's important that we realize the potential in our spirit, either to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit or to be controlled by the spirit that leads to death. Let's look at the second point, and that is we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because he is a person. How is the Holy Spirit a person? If it is a person, then why can't we see it? How can we call the Holy Spirit a person when we can't see it? When we are familiar with a person, we right away look for somebody. I would like to point out three things that the Holy Spirit does that shows that he is a person. And when you learn to know somebody, there is something that you will acknowledge about them. As people, it's not only who we are as a person, but it's also what we know and what we, I'll use the word will, and also how we feel. That's three things that make up a person. So this morning, we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because he is a person. Now again, we're not looking for skin, bones, head, arms, and legs, but we're looking for someone that knows. In Romans 8:26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." We can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life because he knows what we're thinking. He knows what our needs are. And in verse 27, It says he searcheth the hearts, and he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for saints according to the will of God. As people, we're able to know things. We can look outside. We can see whether it's snowing. We know that if it's cold, we prepare for that when we go out the door. The Holy Spirit also knows what's in our life, and he can relate to the needs that we have from day to day also. The other thing that the Holy Spirit does is he can make choices and decisions. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." A characteristic of a person is that they can make choices and decisions, and the Holy Spirit also, under the guidance of the Father, is also able to do that. And then I mentioned about the person of the Holy Spirit being one of emotion. We know as people we can feel, and we find that also with the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:30 says that it mentions the love of the Spirit. The Spirit experiences love. And then also in Ephesians 4:30, we have the words, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit." Those are different thoughts on what the Holy Spirit can, if I can use the word, feel. The Holy Spirit, we can hear his voice, and that is because he is a person. And one of the reasons we need to point this out, and we need to reckon with the fact that he is a person, is because it's so often that we can get distracted and sidetracked with the fact that the Holy Spirit is a power or an experience or a feeling. We think that we should see something happening. Now we do. But yet we look for that experience, or we look for that feeling. And we can get derailed slightly from the actual fact of the Holy Spirit. If we would read the book of Acts and some more details of when the Holy Spirit came to the early church, and then we asked ourselves, why don't we see that happening today? Well, what we're looking for in a case like that is we're looking for the actual happenings, and we're not so much looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit came, and if you look closely, it says it came as a rushing mighty wind, or it came as the tongues of fire. And this morning we can get distracted from the actual Holy Spirit, and then we start to look for the experience, or we start to look for the feeling, rather than focusing on just listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit and acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because as we read the Bible, we find out that the Holy Spirit came and was present even when there wasn't a rushing mighty wind. So let's not get distracted from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit just because we might see an experience. True, it is wonderful to see power, and it's wonderful to have an experience, and it's wonderful to feel the presence of the Spirit. But yet we need to realize it goes deeper than that. And that does not always guarantee that the Holy Spirit is existing in someone's life. Let's remember that the Holy Spirit is a person, and we can hear his voice, and he imparts knowledge, he helps direct our choices, and he also shares his feelings with us, which is, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the different things that the Holy Spirit shares with us, and that is evidence of the person of the Holy Spirit. So you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and what do you hear? I'd like to take our minds back to John 16, 13, our text verse. If we're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, what do you hear? This verse tells us what we will hear. We can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit because he speaks truth. This verse said that he will guide you into all truth. It says he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There are a couple of important things that we need to understand here when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit, especially when we hear what he speaks. And that is that he speaks truth. The other thing we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is not the, and I want to say this carefully, he is not the source of truth, but he is the channel of truth. The Holy Spirit is the one between you as a Christian and your Heavenly Father. And he is that channel in between. And I'll just say it this way, if you have somebody that tells you that the Holy Spirit told me this, that might be part of the picture, but yet it will be from the truth. This verse tells us that he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. It does not come from him, but he is the channel. And we know that all truth comes from our Heavenly Father. This helps us with some questions that we sometimes face. How do we know that it is the Holy Spirit talking to us? Well, we have a verse in 1 John 4:1 that says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." The Holy Spirit speaks truth. The Holy Spirit does not speak confusion. This verse tells us from 1 John that there are other spirits that we may sometimes hear, and we are to look at these spirits and listen to these voices, or we are to examine these voices to see whether they are the true spirit. One of the questions we ask ourselves is it contrary to truth? We know that God is the source of truth. The Bible is the truth, and we line up what we hear with the truth, and if it does not line up, we label it as false and listen only to the truth. We know that if the Holy Spirit always speaks truth, we know that it will come through the channels of truth. We said how the Holy Spirit is a channel, and he will speak through the channels of truth, and there are different ways that God has set up these channels for us. Some of them might be the church. We have his word. We have Christian friends, even circumstances that God can use to share his truth with us. One of the things that we need to say as a word of caution, and I mentioned it just briefly about the many other voices that are out there, that we do not listen to these. These are being controlled by the master deceiver. How do we know? How do we know whether it's the voice of the Spirit or whether it is the voices out there that we shouldn't be listening to? And I mentioned about truth lining up with God's word. I think one of the other things that we can look at is The Holy Spirit always leads us forward. I don't know if you've ever struggled with trying to deal with the things in the past. There are times that the Holy Spirit does touch things in our past, and I can relate to that. But in a general way, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us into truth. And we will not find truth in our past. We find truth in the future or in ahead of us, where we're going, that we're in the direction of truth. And that is the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading us. So if you find yourself struggling with the past and it almost seems like that is holding you bound, I would suggest that you make an honest effort to listen to the voice of truth, because he wants to lead you in the direction of truth. Let's listen to the voice of truth, which comes through the Holy Spirit. I have a couple points left here, and they deal with the thing of maybe a little bit more specifically, how do we get the Holy Spirit, how do we keep, and then how do we use. And this is just, again, briefly, how do we get, and this point is we can hear this voice because God has given this gift to each Christian. We can hear this voice because God has given this gift to each Christian. And the point I would like to make here is sometimes as Christians we struggle about how can we get the Holy Spirit? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Is God's Spirit with me? Or we hear the people that talk about getting more of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe they had some type of another experience. How do we relate to all that? And I would like to just read a couple verses from Acts 2 that give us the answer to this question. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This morning, if you are wondering, how do we receive the Holy Spirit as Christians? Did I receive the Holy Spirit? Here is the answer. It is given to you of God. You do not need to go out there looking and trying to find. You cannot receive it apart from salvation. Now, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, you will not have the Holy Spirit. But when you receive Christ as Savior, you are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. A simple illustration of this is when a baby is born. Do you need to make sure that it receives the Spirit? It just happens naturally. A baby is born, body, soul, and spirit. It's there. But then, of course, right on the heels of this, then why do we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us? Why do we ask for God's Spirit? Why do we sing a song, Lord, I need thy rich and filling? I think that's a necessary prayer. And I don't want to tell you this morning that you don't need to pray that. But again, if I may use the illustration of a baby, I think we can get the answer to that question. When a baby is born, as I said, it receives a spirit, and it's natural. It's perfect right where it's at. But 10 years from now, if that baby is still laying there, taking a bottle, not helping itself, you know that it's not natural, it's not normal, and something is wrong. And that's the way it is for us as Christians. We need to keep progressing, and that also means allowing God's Spirit to fill us every day, every step of the way. And so we need to keep asking, I believe daily, that God's Spirit would fill us and lead us. And again, sometimes we get the idea that we need to go look for some experience or some feeling, but I believe it is every day we walk with God and allow His Spirit to fill us. And that should be the purpose of our prayer, is to remove ourselves and to let God fill us. Another point I'd like to make this morning is the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts wherein He reigns. We talked just briefly about how we get the Holy Spirit. How do we keep the Holy Spirit? Here again, we are faced with this question. Am I listening to God's Spirit or the Spirit of the flesh? We want God's Spirit in our heart. We want Him to fill us. Is there something that will keep that from happening? Yes, there is. This morning, Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." It is the flesh that destroys the relationship with God's Spirit. I mentioned about a young Christian receiving Christ as Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned about a little baby being born and receiving the Spirit of flesh and being normal and natural, complete, perfect in that state. But yet, whether it's a young Christian, whether it's a little baby, each day needs to advance in the right direction. As Christians, we need to advance with God's Spirit, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we do not, the spirit of flesh will overtake our lives again. There are many things we could say at this point. How do we keep the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit speaks to hearts wherein He reigns. We need to realize that the Spirit will not always speak to man. We need to realize that the fleshly spirit is strong, and if we give in to those desires, it will start to gain more strength in our lives. And the Holy Spirit will give us strength against that. But there is a point where the Holy Spirit will let us make the decision of what spirit we want to follow. And it becomes very serious if we are not willing to follow and listen and heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. So how do we use the Holy Spirit this morning? The best way to hear His voice is to be filled with His Spirit. There is a verse in Ephesians 5:18, and it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's an interesting illustration. And often we don't use wine as an illustration for behavior, but it is used here in this verse. And as we think of the work and the voice and hearing the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, and as we think of the influence of wine or alcohol in a person's life, I think there are a couple similarities. There might also be some differences. But the similarities we find is, whether it's alcohol, we know that somebody that's under the influence of alcohol, they cannot help themselves. They're under another influence. And I think that's one of the points it's trying to bring out in this verse is, when we have the Holy Spirit in our life, it will not be our fleshly spirit making the decision. It will be the Holy Spirit that will be guiding our behavior, guiding our actions. Another thing we can see from this verse is that it's evident when you see somebody that's under the influence, it's evident to those around them what's happening. And it may seem as foolishness, which it is. But yet, if we can make that same comparison, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When someone is filled with the Spirit, it will be evident to those around them. I believe that is how we use the Holy Spirit, is by letting Him fill our lives and letting Him control us. The challenge I would like to leave for us is, are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Am I following God's Spirit or the spirit of the flesh? And again, we are spiritual individuals, and we have that choice to make. And I would challenge you this week, as you go through your life, to think about this. We tend to think, as I said, we tend to think about the physical, and if we're feeling fine, everything seems to be going smoothly, we think everything's okay. But yet, what about our spiritual? What about our spiritual part of us? Let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit.